Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
I am honored to get to offer the message this morning, and I have prayed to ask the Holy Spirit to work through me to allow us all to hear God's word and to open our eyes to see how he wants us to grow in our faith. So this week, we're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July. What are we really celebrating? Freedom, right? Freedom. We are all designed to seek freedom. It's how we were created. We see this in babies that want freedom from their crib or their playpen, in children who want freedom to eat whatever they want. We see this in teenagers who want freedom to be able to drive and leave home and do things they haven't been allowed to do as a child. It can show up a little differently in adults. Some seek freedom in climbing the corporate ladder, while others seek freedom by living a simple life. Some try to find freedom in obtaining the next best thing that will save them time. Some pursue freedom in nature, some in travel, some in social gatherings, and some in solitude. If we are real with ourselves, it seems that true freedom is not something that we can attain on our own, though. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul is teaching that true freedom is found in Christ. At that time, the people in the churches in Galatia were being told a false teaching that they needed to be circumcised or to follow the law of Moses to find favor with God. And Paul is frustrated and upset about this because he's trying to spread the message that we are made right with God by our faith in Jesus Christ. Full disclaimer here. Please understand, I am not a biblical scholar. And I think it might be helpful if we give a little context or at least the simplified backstory, at least as I understand it, okay? So there were Jewish people and non-Jewish people becoming Christians. Some of the Jewish Christians that told the people in Galatia who were not Jewish that to become part of God's family, they needed to be circumcised and follow all the laws of the Torah. Now, this was false teaching, and this is what upset Paul so much to the point of writing his letters to the churches in Galatia. So Paul reminds them very emphatically that the message he was preaching was not made up, and it was not from human reasoning, and he was not even appointed by people to spread this message. It was by direct revelation by Jesus Christ. Now, let's remember, this is Paul we're talking about, formerly known as Saul, right, who he never met Jesus when Jesus was on earth, right? He only was met by the risen Christ, right? And Saul was known as a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he makes it very clear that when he followed the Jewish religion, he violently persecuted God's church and did his best to destroy it. He claims he was far ahead of his fellow Jews in his zeal for the traditions of his ancestors. But Paul was chosen and called by God to proclaim the good news about Christ to the Gentiles or the non-Jewish people. I really like the Message version of Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, where Paul goes on to say that he, a Jew since birth, and he's talking with Peter about his conversation with Peter because Peter was also a Jew since birth, that they have no advantage over non-Jewish sinners. He knows that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith in Jesus Christ. So how can we relate this message that Paul is sending to the churches in Galatia to our lives today? We as Christians today aren't typically having discussions about circumcision or about following the law of Moses. or as Pastor Dan has referred to this before, the rules about the rules, right? So let's delve into this a little bit further. Now, if I'm being honest here, I feel like it's easy to see how the Galatians were swayed by the false teaching that the way to earn God's favor was by following the rules. I mean, I gotta be honest, I consider myself a rule follower. I raised our kids to follow the rules, right? But the difference here is that is not how we are saved. Legalism or following the law may still be living a good life, but it's motivated by pride or self-righteousness. Very different. And that's not how we are freed, because it can't produce a loving heart. And a loving heart is the image of God. We know God is love. Paul tells us there is only one gospel. It is only through following Jesus that we find the freedom we long for. This message of freedom in Christ was meant for everyone, not just those that were following the laws of the Jewish traditions. Paul explains that if we could be made right with God by following the laws, there was no reason for Jesus to die. So either Jesus earned it all for us or nothing at all. We can't have it both ways. Philip Yancey, a contemporary Christian author, said, "There is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less." Now, Paul makes it very clear that this freedom he talks about is not a freedom to do anything you want, like a freedom to sin. Instead, he tells us to use our freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. He reminds us that the whole law can be summed up in the one command. We all know it as the golden rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Paul also tells us that the sinful nature and the Holy Spirit are constantly fighting one another. It's like those cartoons with an angel, usually on the right side, I think, on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, right? So the sinful nature wants us to do evil, which is the complete opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants and enables us to do. That's the key. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Instead, Paul tells us to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Now, this is key, this next part. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. So once we become children of God, we gain the freedom to choose what is right through the Holy Spirit. We have been set free from the power of sin. Why would we ever choose the restraint of sin in our lives then? Paul goes on to tell us in Galatians 5, and I'm going to read, so bear with me. It's a bit long. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is where the good part comes. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So what does it look like to live in the freedom of Christ? We've learned that Christ frees us from slavery to the laws and also frees us from the sinful self. So we have freedom to serve one another, serve our neighbor, to become slaves to one another through love. We have freedom in Christ to share the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read the fruit of the Spirit one more time. We'll focus on the positive. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Which of these comes easily to you? Which ones are more difficult? God gave us a perfect example in Jesus. When I'm by myself, I sometimes like to sing, and I'm not gonna sing today. This is definitely not what you want. But there's this song by Christian artists for King and Country called The Proof of Your Love. And I feel like the chorus is kind of a prayer, and it goes like this. So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you lived, how you died, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love. I want to read a story I found titled A Powerful Lesson from the Bees by Penn Drive. Okay. My dad has a hobby post-retirement. He has hives all over the place in his garden, and he collects honey. I make it a point to visit him whenever he collects honey. A few days ago, I went to his house, and he showed me all the honey he had gotten from the hives. He took the lid off a large pot full of golden honey. All I could see on top of the honey was three little bees struggling. They were covered in sticky honey and drowning. I asked him if we could help them. He said he was sure they wouldn't survive. Casualties of honey collection. I shuddered at the thought. Imagine one of us drowning in honey? I asked him again if we could at least get them out and kill them quickly. After all, he was the one who had taught me to put a suffering animal or bug out of its misery. He finally conceded and scooped the bees out of the pot. He put them in an empty yogurt container and put the plastic container outside. They were still completely covered in honey and were slowly suffocating to death. We put the container with the three little bees on a bench and left them to their fate. Because my dad had disrupted the hive with the earlier honey collection, there were bees flying all over outside. These were the worker bees, all of them females, who had worked tirelessly to build the hives and make honey. Now they had to go somewhere else to restart the entire process. A little while later, my dad called me out to show me what was happening. These three little bees were surrounded by their sisters. They were cleaning the sticky, nearly dead bees, helping them to get all of the honey off their bodies and wings. Not even one of them had flown away in search of a better place to build new hives. Taking care of their siblings was far more important to them. I was astonished. I watched in astonishment as two of the bees recovered sufficiently to fly. They did not fly away in relief. Instead, they turned around to help the last bee along with their friends. After a few more minutes, the third bee had been cleaned and recovered enough to fly. That was a signal for the entire swarm to flap their wings and take off in harmony. The container was now empty. Those three little bees lived because they were surrounded by family and friends who would not give up on them. Family and friends who refused to let them drown in their own stickiness. Family and friends who had resolved to help until the last little bee could be set free. Bee sisters, bee peers, bee teammates. We could all learn a little thing or two from these bees. Why can't we be like these bees? Let us start at least from today. Be kind always. So it's a sweet little story, pun intended. I'm not sure if it's an actually true story or not, but maybe we need to think of our freedom in Christ, like the bees, that were free to fly off and find a new place to start their hive. And yet they chose to stay and work to serve their fellow bees. As we wrap up today, I want to encourage you to listen to the lyrics of our closing song, Free Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I am free, amen. Often when we talk about freedom in our country, we hear the phrase, freedom isn't free. And I, for one, am truly grateful for all those who have worked and are still working to defend our freedom. The same is true for our Christian freedom, though, right? Jesus paid the price for our sins and made us free. We should be so grateful. Bottom line is that we have freedom in Christ with the Holy Spirit working through us to do God's good work. It's not about trying to please God or win his favor with the good works that we do. It's about God working through us with his Holy Spirit to do his good work. I challenge us all today to consider, how can we use our freedom in Christ to transform our lives, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us to serve one another with love, producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to be led by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen our faith so that we may accept the freedom that you bought for us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please show us what we need to start doing or stop doing so we can truly live freely. In Jesus' name, amen.